for just one second. Give me your eyes so I can see everything that I keep missing. Give me your love for humanity. Give me your arms for the brokenhearted, the ones that are far beyond my reach. Give me your heart for the ones forgotten. Give me your eyes so I can see.
Well, welcome to Life Matters. This is your host, Mariah Wilde, founder of Family Link Foster Care and Adoption Agency. And I hope that you're having an amazing day. You know what? This week we have been in the process of finding siblings' families. We have a list of around 100 children who are separated. Oh my gosh, can you imagine? And these are all children from San Antonio, too. So here we are, children who are crying at night, crying for their big brother, crying for their baby sister. And at Family Link, we have the opportunity, if we can find them a family, we have the opportunity to bring these children together. Oh, what a privilege that is. Then we have a different list of about 30 children waiting in a shelter, most of them sibling groups of four and more. I think there's one sibling group of three. But one of them has newborn twins and then two older kids. You know, sometimes we talk in our office and I just said, gosh, a lot of people would want the newborn twins. But then they go, oh, but not the old other two. But don't you know that God created them together? God brought these children into a family, same mom, maybe not same dad, but definitely the same mom, and they're a family unit. They're meant to grow up together. So we need families who are willing and interested and excited about keeping siblings together. And that, to me, is one of the most amazing things that we do. So, of course, when we have a new baby, he needs a home. We love that. But that's easy to find one baby a home, but it's so, you know, exciting as well. But for these children who are siblings, oftentimes we're their only hope. That's one of the reasons I'm so excited about Legacy Ranch. We are in the process right now of renovating homes for large sibling groups and as well as other children that we can't find a home or teenagers. Maybe pregnant teens, parenting teens, those are on our heart as well. Then we're going to be building homes starting from scratch. And so if you're a builder, if you're a contractor, if you just have a heart for what we do, I just got an email from someone. I was so excited. She said, I don't have any special skills, but I can help paint her with other things. Wonderful. So you are invited to come and be a part of who we are and what we do. This Saturday, as well as every Saturday for a while, many Sundays and a lot of weekdays. Well, you know what? That's just about every day. If I think about it, you're invited to come out. But if you want to meet a bigger team, then Saturdays are when more people come. Saturdays, we have a barbecue every single Saturday at lunchtime. At least it has been lately. And we're painting, we're cleaning, we're changing out fixtures. We're just making these homes into a beautiful place. Our office is now at Legacy Ranch, which is a huge accomplishment. We renovated the office. Now we actually are a pretty big staff. I've all moved there, which is exciting. But we cannot wait for our families to move in. We cannot wait for children who would have otherwise been separated to be there. Can't wait for teenagers who would have otherwise been on the street. But you know what? We also can't wait for our first retreat and training at Legacy Ranch. It's coming up. And it'll be a time where kids can fish, canoe, swim. Well, it may be a little cold for swimming, although they could probably put their feet in the water, which the kids love. You know, we have 156 acres on the San Marcos River. It's a dream come true. It's a dream that God placed in my heart, my family's heart, 8 years ago. And to think that we're here now, I still sometimes have to pinch myself. Of course, I don't always because it's been a tremendous amount of work, as you can imagine. But even in the midst of the extra work, because it's kind of like an extra full-time job creating Legacy Ranch, even in the middle of that, I keep my joy because I just go, thank you, God, for this privilege. Oh, what a blessing and what a ministry this is. And will be as the children start moving out there, as the retreats and trainings for all of our families take place. Oh, what an incredible blessing. So if you would like to be a part of that, there's a few ways. One, you can donate online. Every single bit makes a difference. as we're renovating, and if you donate, you might know, I bought some of that paint. I bought some of those materials. I invested in the lives of children who will be imparted and impacted by Legacy Ranch. Or you may come out. You know what? Even if you have to drive a few hours, maybe you live, I don't know, in Houston. We're about 2 hours from Houston. We're about less than an hour from Austin, less than an hour from San Antonio. Of course, it depends on which part you're in. And so those are things that you can do. You could hop in the car and maybe invite some friends, maybe visit with your pastor, get a church group out, and come on out. Or really, if maybe you can't, because we do have some homebound listeners, you know what? You could send an email out. You can invite other friends. You can pray for us. You are needed, and you can make a difference. We also have training coming up February 18th and 25th in San Antonio. That is for those of you who would like to mentor. If you want to maybe spend a Saturday a month or two Saturdays a month with some of our kids that are struggling, need a little extra love and support, take them to the movies, the park, out to eat. Just spend time with them, love on them. That's our mentor program. You would need to come to training for that. And, or if you're interested in fostering or adopting, of course, we would also love for you to come to training. So in San Antonio, we'll actually have people from all over Texas who go to the San Antonio training. And that information is on our website, familylinkkids.com. You can also go ahead and register through contacting us. So you can contact us and just say, yes, I want to come. Then we'll send you the official email to register. But if you'd like to come and help out at Legacy Ranch this weekend, another weekend, just contact us through familylinkkids.com. Let us know that you would like to come and help. And then we'll send you back the address and some additional information. So I cannot wait to hear from more of you about that. So I'm excited to introduce to you my special guest, Judith with Alba's Child. So Judith, I'm excited about our show today. We're going to use some of your experience as a foster parent, use some of your experiences from Alba's Child, how to really create an environment where healing can take place. So I'm excited about today's show. Welcome to part three.
Thank you.
We are going to have a great time. And, you know, tell everybody a little bit who may have not been able to join us previously about your background and what you do and why you see Abba's Child as a ministry.
Well, for about the last 10 years, I've been working with children who have various kinds of learning problems like ADD, ADHD, dyslexia, autism, memory issues, auditory and visual processing problems. And we use programs that retrain how the brain processes information, because what we found is that there are many kids who are on medication today who really have learning problems that haven't been identified. And these kids are bright, and once you identify what's really causing some of the strange behaviors, these children are able to overcome their learning problems. The ADD, ADHD behaviors disappear, and these kids go on to become really loving kids and children who do really well in school. I consider it a ministry because I feel like these children come to me really having a very poor attitude about themselves, about school, about their families, and really not knowing their true identity and that they were created to really make an impact on society and on the world. And we see that in the process of working through all these issues that they develop a completely new understanding of who they are.
And so if you have a family who's listening right now, they may have, for example, a 10-year-old girl who is just throwing a huge fit, maybe even three times a day. It's one thing when a 2-year-old does that, because you know, like, okay, terrible twos, even though we like to call it the terrific twos, but in people's head they might go, okay, I know this is doable, I know it's understandable, they're 2, 3, that's normal. But then when children do things that we don't consider normal, some of the things we might feel as parents are frustrated, it's not fair, my friend's kids are acting normal, I don't know why these kids cannot, whether they're foster or biological. You can still have these feelings as a parent, but then it can come out in your parenting. Look, you just need to stop. And so let's just take a family of a 10-year-old girl who might literally be screaming and throwing a temper tantrum even three times a day. What give
I'm working with a child like that right now.
Oh, perfect. Share with us about
that. It's been very, very interesting. She's a child who was adopted. The biological parents had drug issues. And this little girl has had a real hard time in school. And when she came to me, she was several years behind. And her mom was trying to figure out what was going on. When we tested her, we found out that she had a severe auditory processing problem. She was sitting in class and really not understanding the teaching. She also had some visual processing problems. And we're working with a program with her right now. She was about, she also tested about 3 years behind her grade level. And I started using a program with her that just works on decoding words. And her teacher called me a couple of weeks ago and came in, and we'd only been working together for a few weeks. And she said, "What are you doing?" And I said, "Well, what do you mean?" And she said, "Her behavior is changing so radically in the classroom, from somebody who didn't want to participate to somebody who wants to read out loud now, who is raising their hand and answering questions." Her mom also talked about the fact that she is seeing such a change in this child. So, you know, when you really get to the bottom of what's going on, very often it's something that can be corrected without that much difficulty. And we're finding, too, that there are more and more brain retraining programs that are available now, and they're getting better and better and faster.
That is so awesome. And so here you could, as a parent, they could have, and they probably already have tried this, redirection, tried time out, tried consequences, tried choices. These are all things that even educated parents, that's pretty much all they have in their toolbox.
Yeah.
And so they're thinking, we've gone to the pediatrician, we've got our hearing checked, we have our visual. I mean, there's just like normal things. And yet everybody's saying, well, she looks normal, she seems normal. But as a parent, you're going, parent and teacher, this is not normal, but we don't know what to do. And so first of all, we want to offer hope that there is great hope. Just think about this. This girl having complete meltdowns now, and this is just a few weeks, her teacher saying, "I can see a difference. She's getting involved. She's excited about learning." That's amazing. And so,
you know, she's not totally caught up yet. I don't want to say these are things, you know, you can solve in 3 weeks, but the change when hope comes into a child's life can happen immediately, and you immediately start seeing some change.
Oh, that is exciting. You know, I'm thinking of this little girl right now that she may need to do some testing. When we come back from a break, will you tell us why having challenges, some sort of processing challenge, sensory, auditory, visual, why that would reflect in your behavior? Because as a parent, we might think, but why doesn't the child just say, "I don't understand this," or "This is what I'm seeing," or "This is what I'm feeling"? Why do they have to act in such an inappropriate manner? How are the two connected? And then let's talk about the home environment, what you can do at home to help these children, whether they're sensory challenged or processing challenged or not. These are going to be things that you guys are going to learn that can make a huge difference within your very own family. So we'll be right back with Judith. Make sure you check out abbaschild.com. I'm so excited. There's an at-home program. I know a lot of our families and you listening probably have tons of appointments and places to go. So just know you can get help. And you know what? You can even do it at home with Abba's Child help and support. So I just think that's amazing. Also, go to familylinkkids.com. I'd love to hear from you. For updates on a daily basis, find out who's going to be on the show that day, find out what children we're working on finding homes for, volunteer opportunities, then friend me on Facebook. It's facebook.com/MariahWildeFamily, all together, and we'll be right back.
Give me your eyes for just 1 second. Give me your eyes so I can see everything that I keep missing. Give me your love for humanity. Give me your arms for the brokenhearted, the ones that are far beyond my reach. Give me your heart for the ones forgotten. Give me your eyes so I can see.
Welcome back to Life Matters. This is your host, Mariah Wilde, founder of Family Link, and I am here with Judith, founder of Abba's Child. So we were just talking about a 10-year-old girl who would have maybe even 3 meltdowns a day, screaming, kicking, Let's talk about sensory processing. What is that? And how, if this young lady had some sensory processing challenges, why would it be reflected in her behavior?
Well, I think one thing that happens is for many of the children that I see, they don't realize that their experience is different than the experience of other children. That when they sit in a classroom and they don't really understand what the teacher is talking about, they know that they can hear, and they assume that other children are having the same experience that they are. If a child is reading a book and the text in the book is not stable, it's kind of like moving around or shaking or vibrating, they're assuming that everybody else sees that way also, but they're able to read. Mm-hmm. And so often these kids find that, you know, it doesn't matter if they try hard, they still can't do what's expected of them. And they, you know, they come home and, you know, they have been trying all day, and now they're confronted with, perhaps I need to do my homework, and I'm going to be asked to do more of the same that wasn't working all day. These kids are walking around with a lot of shame, a lot of fear, a lot of anxiety. And, you know, we know that anger very often is the tip of the iceberg. It's, kids feel safer, and so do adults, expressing their anger and rage than they do expressing their shame and anxiety. And so these kids tend to blow a lot. And again, until you get to the point where you can help the child to see that what they're experiencing is not normal, and that you recognize that they really have been trying, that they're not lazy, that they're not disobedient, but that they, as a matter of fact, they've been spending a lot more time than perhaps their peers have really struggling to learn, mm-hmm. and to honor that in them. At that point, if you say, you know what, this is something that can be fixed, this is not something all your peers are dealing with, we can help this, it's just a huge relief comes over the child, and there's a willingness to try again to see if maybe there's another approach that will work.
And so a lot of times when you have processing challenges, it really, parents think it's disobedience.
Right.
Like this 10-year-old girl, if she, you know, it's homework time and she's throwing a fit, she doesn't want to go to her room. Would you say that some of it might be just like a buildup of even a couple of hours of frustration, and all of a sudden it all comes out within kicking and screaming?
Oh, yeah. And a lot of these children have not learned to communicate well because they don't know what to communicate. They don't understand how to explain what their experience, because they feel like it's everybody else's experience as well. It's the norm, and it's hard to talk about something that is in place that you can't even really recognize.
And you know, with sensory, one day I got it. I understand a little bit more, but I hope that you can help us understand even more. But someone used this as an example, and I thought, oh, okay. So, you know, let's just say we have a 7-year-old boy, and he's constantly trying to take off his shirt. And so then the parents are going, this is not appropriate behavior. Like, you have to leave your shirt on. And he's going, it's itchy.
Right.
It's bothering me. And as a parent, you're going, no, it's not. It is a regular shirt. Everybody else in America has to wear one. And so, you know what? You just have to keep it on. What might be going on with that child?
Okay.
Why?
We have five different senses. And if you think about like turning on a radio, you can have that radio at really low pitch, or you can turn it up to high pitch where it's going to, you know, drive you right out of the room. Well, the same thing is true of our senses, that you can have different senses, whether it's your touch sense or your hearing sense or your visual sense, that it's tuned in a way that you're on overload all the time. And so, for example, a child that you're talking about, they may be incredibly sensitive to touch, so that you know, something like a shirt that you would feel comfortable with, if, for example, a turtleneck shirt, feels like it's choking them, or it feels like it's too itchy, too scratchy. A child who has a problem filtering out sounds can be in an environment where, you know, people are talking, there are cars going by, there are clocks ticking, there are various other kinds of auditory impulses happening, and the child has no way to filter out the thing that he wants to focus on and block everything else out, and he becomes absolutely overwhelmed, and many of these kids end up, you know, pitching fits.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, and you know, okay. I'm also thinking, would sometimes even, quote, normal children kind of experience overload? Because sometimes Donovan, who just turned 3, in the car, like, we can be listening to music, worship music, and he'll just go, it's too loud, it's too loud. And before I understood this, like maybe with previous children, I might think, okay, it's not too loud, he's just trying to control, you know, we're always like, oh,
right.
The parent's
yeah.
in charge. And, but now, since I've matured and learned over the years, now I kind of think, you know what, it might be too loud for him right now. And so I'll just, you know, turn it down a little bit. Or he's like, yesterday, he said, I'm going to take off my jacket. And it's really a shirt. And he has an undershirt underneath it, but it's a long sleeve shirt. But instead, maybe with other children, I might have been, no, you need to leave it on. But he's so, like, insistent. I'm just feeling like he, even as an adult, we have to put ourselves in children's positions. Have you ever felt like you were starting to feel a little bit hot, hyperventilating, like, oh, my gosh, I've got to get this jacket off. And maybe that's what he was feeling, even though it was just a long-sleeve shirt.
Right.
And so I just think as parents, whether your children have processing challenges or not, although in our society many do, we need to be more sensitive to them. If they want their jacket off, unless it's like freezing cold and you're outside, let them take their long sleeve shirt off. Let them take it off. Let them wear a short sleeve.
Yeah.
If they need the music turned down, turn it down. Because at any moment, would you say like their senses may be trying to kind of balance out as they're growing and maturing, and they could feel overwhelmed, even what we consider a normal child. Is that correct?
Yeah. I've been watching this. I am a grandma for the first time, and I met my grandchild when she was just a few weeks old, and she was going through some problems trying to adjust to being in the world. And, you know, her mom had bought her all these wonderful cutesy little outfits, and basically she was most comfortable in a diaper and wanted to be as close to naked as possible and to have lots of skin contact. And I thought, wow, this is really interesting. And so, you know, when I was there for a couple of weeks, she hung out in her diaper. And then when I was with her again about a month or 6 weeks later, she was able to tolerate clothes. But, you know, if her mom had just said, well, you know, I've gotten these clothes for you, you're going to wear them, she would have had a very unhappy infant.
So it's really taking cues and paying attention. It's not, I think, the old-fashioned way of parenting. We're just like, I'm in charge.
Mm-hmm.
This is, and plus what I'm trying to get you to do is normal. It's not like I'm trying to get you to do something out of the ordinary. So you know what? You're a baby. You just got to wear this cute little ruffled outfit. So I want to show everybody off. But, you know, she's crying. But then the way you might figure it out is, oh, I get her in a blanket and I wrap her with a cotton blanket. And she's like, I mean, get her in a diaper and wrap her in a cotton blanket. She's happy. Okay, let me try it again. Well, goodness, I feel like this is really seems like what she needs right now. Okay, fine. And then, you know, for like a 5-year-old, if you take out if their shirt's really bothering them, they just got to have it off. Maybe take out the tags. Make sure you do 100%
yep.
cotton. Make sure they're really soft. Make sure you're washing them in organic type of, you know, fragrance-free soap. I mean, I think that as parents, we have to learn more that we need to adjust to our children versus always trying to focus on getting the children to adjust to us and that we're in charge. How many times have you had, I'm in charge. You have to listen to me. Just do it. And so it's a time for a paradigm shift that we adjust more towards our children and really understanding what they're going through. And, you know, it's hard to be a kid. And so when we come back from a break, would you share with us what you consider old-fashioned parenting that maybe didn't exactly work and to the parenting that our kids need today? And honestly, I think there's a number of reasons. It's vaccinations. Our kids are getting flooded with chemicals. It's what's happening in society, a tremendous amount of chemicals in the world, in our food. There's a lot of reasons why children of today are actually more challenging and have more processing challenges even than in previous times.
I completely agree with you, and that's why it's important when you say I'm in charge, it's really part of being in charge is really understanding what a child is needing and helping to see that happen. That's taking ownership of the parenting role rather than saying, I'm in charge, you will do what I say.
Yes. So when we come back, let's talk about what that might look like for any type of child and what you've learned in your experience. So even as maybe a family's doing this at-home program, that's not all. If you're critical, if you're trying to get them to conform and during the program, your success rate is probably not going to be very high. And so we want to give you a full rounded picture of what you can do at home starting today. So we'll be right back with Judith. Go to abbaschild.com. Oh, you can learn so much more there. You can also do some free initial assessments. You can even do them at home, send them in, and check out your children. If there's some extra help, don't you want to get it to them now versus when they're teenagers versus when they're adults and they're struggling? And so I know I do, and I definitely want this for all of our Family Link children. And then also contact us, familylinkkids.com. Friend me on Facebook, facebook.com/MariahWildeFamily. Hope you got all that down, and we'll be right back.
Give me your eyes for just 1 second. Give me your eyes so I can see everything that I keep missing. Give me your love for humanity. Give me your arms for the brokenhearted, the ones that are far beyond my reach. Give me your heart for the ones forgotten. Give me your eyes so I can see.
To Life Matters. This is your host, Mariah Wilde, founder of Family Link, and I'm here with Judith, founder of Abba's Child. Share with us what you would say some of the parenting that you have seen that doesn't work and the parenting that does work.
Okay, well, I'm going to start off with what I found working with children with learning problems, because it really reflects on what was going on in the children's home. Many of the kids that we see come to us, and there's a lot of conflict going on at home. Their relationships with their parents are really poor because the parents are trying to figure out what's going on, trying to help the kids, and huge power struggles are ensuing. And the parents are very, very much aware of their child's inadequacies more than they are of the child's strengths. And so I realized very quickly that if I was going to reach the children, I couldn't continue to do more of what they were already experiencing in the classroom and in at home. And I really went back to the idea that love never fails, and feeling like these children were love-deprived in many ways. And it wasn't because their parents didn't love them. It was that they were caught up in so much struggle. And I looked at Gary Chapman's book, The Love Languages for Children, and said, okay, if we're going to be working with these children, they need to feel like they are in a safe environment where it's safe to explore, it's safe to ask questions, it's safe to share who they are. And what we're going to do is we are going to make sure that we, in our hearts, are functioning out of love and that we're expressing that to the children. And the five love languages are words of affirmation, quality time, acts of service, touch, and gifts. And we found, as we implemented every one of those in the center, that it created an environment the children wanted to be in and didn't want to leave, and that it was something that could be communicated in a very short period of time. I would be amazed that children would come in for assessments and their parents would be dragging them in, and by the time the assessment was over, we'd have kids crawling under the furniture because they didn't want to leave. And it's kids know, we all know, when we're in a loving, safe environment, and that's the type of environment where we really are safe to be ourselves, to be able to grow, to be able to learn.
And so what would that look like on a day-by-day basis? Because I imagine that everybody listening feels like, I love my children, and I'm a loving parent. So give us an example. Let's just take this 10-year-old girl throwing huge fits throughout the day. Teachers frustrated. The parents are just going, I mean, we're kind. We love her. What else can we do? Give us some ideas, like just take one day.
Okay.
What can we do as we start even to get her ready for school? How can we start the day off right?
Okay. One of the things that I use for myself and our staff uses is just the notion that, that God has a plan for a child's life, and it's a good plan, but so does the enemy. And it's very easy when a child is struggling to be able to see everything that's wrong with the child and to keep harping on that because we want the child to change and to stop doing the things that are, you know, destructive in one way or another. And so the first thing I talk to parents about is, I want you to lay off for a while of everything that's wrong, and I want you to keep catching that child doing the right thing or something good or something just quiet and peaceful and start commenting on it. I want you to really look for things that you can support and acknowledge those verbally. So that would be the words of affirmation. The next thing I would say is that very often the time that parents are spending with kids today are struggling over homework, trying to get them out of the house, trying to get them to lessons, trying to do all this different stuff. And most children don't have the experience of spending quality time with their parents where they're doing something together that is fun. And so the relationship just ends up feeling for both sides like hassle, hassle, hassle. And again, find time in your day, a short period of time. Find time in your week. Find time in your month. I mean, quality time can be minutes. It can be hours. It can be, you know, days. But to be doing things that are fun for the two of you to do together, where you're actually enjoying each other's company. The next thing is touch. And it was an interesting one in schools because school teachers are not supposed to be touching the kids. And yet our children very often are touch deprived. And so, you know, I found, you know, standing at the door as everybody came in and just, you know, reaching out and taking a child's hand made a difference. It was a connection. It was an eye-to-eye connection. It was, you know, talking to the child about how their day was. You know, making sure when I was talking to a child or correcting them that I would put a hand on their shoulder. And you could feel, as you do that, you feel kids relax. I mean, it's really amazing. And then gifts. We did a lot of different things in the center, just kind of like observing what our kids really loved. And we had a prize, like a treasure chest. And at the end of the week, the children were able to get something out of the treasure chest. And we just tried to fill it with little trinkets. I mean, they were less than a dollar very often. But of things that that child would look at and go, wow, you know I like, you know, baseball cards, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't necessarily something that the parent loved that much, but it was something that said to the child, wow, you see me and you're acknowledging me. And then acts of service was really being willing to help a child with an attitude of your heart that's not feeling, you know, frustrated and angry and tired, but to actually be doing things for a child in a way that is coming from a really loving place. And, you know, none of us can do this, you know, 24 hours a day or be speaking all five love languages at the same time all day long. But what we found, and I've also found as a parent, the more I can be coming from a place of love and expressing that love and speaking out the goodness that is in each child, amazing things start to happen.
And so I would say that if you have a child struggling for any reason, that chances are the parent is also frustrated.
Oh,
so if you
yeah.
have a frustrated parent and then you have a frustrated child, there's going to be negativity going around. And so you pretty much, I think you started off with a very crucial thing, and that is stop the negativity. And so you might think, but I'm just training them, but I'm just teaching them. Just think, is what I'm about to say going to feel like life, like a breath of life, something good to this child, or going to feel like they're being dragged down, something that makes them feel bad? And so even if you're thinking that you're training or disciplining or whatever, if you think it through and you go, yeah, I think it might make them feel bad, but hey, I got to do it, then try a totally different approach. So we're going to ask you right now, try something. It was called like fasting from negativity. My parents did this one time with a bunch of people, and it was really neat to see the change that happened. And so if you just I don't know. Let's just try a month of fasting from negativity. And I bet anything right there, you will see tremendous change as you begin to look for the positive. So if you think about it, when you tell your child to clean their room and it's they do it halfway, instead of going through it negatively, like, oh, you know what? You know, you're 12 years old. You know how to clean your room. You need to make the bed. Your pillows are still on the floor, etc. What if you approached it a totally different way and said, wow, you've got your room halfway done. That is great. Let me know when the other half is done. I'd love to come see it.
Sounds good.
Totally different approaches.
I know when I've worked for someone, there are people who have focused on correcting what I needed to be corrected about, and other people who've seen what I was doing well and focused on that. And, I mean, honestly, I would find myself working a lot harder mm-hmm. and trying to do even more for the person who was acknowledging what I was doing than for the person who was just, you know, simply criticizing all the time.
Exactly. So if you want your children to want to please you, whatever's in their capacity, if you're looking for the good and you're more concerned, my mom always says too, Mariah, your connection with your children is more important than what you're saying to them and what you're teaching them. It starts off with connection. It's a heart connection. And that's what you're talking about. These five love languages, ultimately, you're building a heart connection so that they'll even be willing to learn from you. And so how do you create a learning environment at home? Because we're talking a lot about children, it's learning. Learning is where this frustration comes in, whether it be learning how to survive in the world, learning how to be a five-year-old, or it could even be learning as a teenager in school. What can we do at home to change that?
Well, I think there are a lot of things. And one is that we need to be learners ourselves so that we can model what we're asking our children to do. For example, if we want our children to be reading, we need to be reading. And I think in many places today, you know, parents either don't have time to read or they're more, you know, connected to a computer or a television set or, you know, whatever. But it's really important that we be reading and we also be reading to our children so that they see reading as something that really has a use out there in the world, that they're not just spending hours learning how to sound out words and decode words and put sentences together, but that there's a real joy and a real importance in reading. And, you know, I'm always struck about just, you know, how much children want to imitate what they see their parents doing. And, you know, it starts with kids wanting to dress up in their parents' clothes. But if we're enjoying learning, kids want to learn and follow the things that they see us doing. And so, you know, I would be focused on things like looking at all the things that can go on in a home that you actually can involve a child in. For example, you're cooking. Instead of just saying, okay, I'm going to make dinner, find ways to involve the child. Talk to them about recipes. Talk to them about, you know, fractions. Talk to them about, you know, combining things. Get involved in projects together, whether it's, you know, building something or gardening together. Plan events. It takes something to pull off, you know, the family going on a two-day trip together, and get the children involved in thinking about, well, what do we have to do in order for this to happen, and who's going to do what? Take a look at what the child is really interested in, and, you know, make sure that if you've got a child who really loves to dance but is doing miserably in school, make sure they're getting an opportunity to dance, to do the things that really bring them joy. Spend time together as a family, you know, going to museums, exploring history together, getting out in nature. There are so many things. I mean, we tend to think of learning as something that happens in a school, and yet God created this entire planet as the most extraordinary school. And I think the more that we see learning is something that doesn't just happen in a box, mm-hmm. but that the whole world is there to explore and learn from, and that there are zillions of different things to explore and learn, our lives will be richer, and so will the children's.
Oh, I love that, and that is so true. But you know what? TV and computer has really taken the place in our society in what people used to do. Oh, go outside and play. Go outside and play basketball. Go take a walk. Go for a hike. And so I'm so glad you brought that up. But you know what? Even if you're a family that you feel like, you know, we're just struggling, we're not enjoying our kids, today can be a day of change. No matter how it has been over the past few years or maybe even many years, it doesn't matter. If you think right now, to be honest, I'm not really enjoying parenting. I'm stressed, they're stressed. If you will take the advice today and just decide, make a choice and say, you know what? I'm going to do this with great joy and great peace. I'm going to love being a parent. And when you decide that, and when you realize that no matter your worst day is probably some people in a third world country would be their best day, when you start to feel grateful for your children, grateful for your home, grateful for your job, grateful for whatever your life entails, when you start to be happier, it's amazing that one change will change your children. Because when I hear about stressed out children or stressed out parents, I'm going, hey, if I was your child, I'd be stressed out too and acting out. I would want a happy parent. I want to have somebody who smiles at me and looks at me and listens to me. And then I'm much more likely to be happier myself. Happy children, happy parents, happy family.
It doesn't take a lot of time or money. I mean, I was amazed. There's a little boy I'm working with right now, a third grader, and he's going through auditory therapy. And so he wears a fanny pack and earphones on his head, and we work together for an hour. And he discovered that he likes to find rocks around my house and paint on the rocks. And yesterday we ended up walking to a bridge that's, I don't know, maybe a third of a mile away. And he took some of his rocks and he stood at the top of the bridge and dropped them in the river. And he was so happy, you know. This is not, you know, costing anybody any money, any special supplies, anything. But it was the two of us, you know, being together and just doing these simple activities.
And this is while he had his headphones on and was the frequencies. When we come back, would you explain why would having headphones on, listen frequencies, why would that change anything?
Okay.
Because I know for many that doesn't even make any sense.
Okay.
But it does to you because you have seen what we consider almost to be miracles happen with the retraining of the brain. I mean, that's so awesome. So you're listening to Life Matters. I'd love to hear from you. Contact us and donate online, familylinkkids.com. Friend me on Facebook for updates, facebook.com/MariahWildeFamily. Go to abbaschild.com. Download the free assessments. You're welcome to. You could help your niece, your nephew, your own children, and see if there's some areas that they may need some extra support in. And we'll be right back.
Give me your eyes for just one second. Give me your eyes so I can see everything that I keep missing. Give me your love for humanity. Give me your arms for the brokenhearted, the ones that are far beyond my reach. Give me your heart for the ones forgotten. Give me your eyes so I can see.
Welcome back to Life Matters. This is your host, Mariah Wilde, founder of Family Link, and I am here with Judith, founder of Abba's Child. And so, Judith, we were just talking about the environment we can help create for learning and for healing and just for a child to feel loved. But you shared with us a little boy who's 5 who has an auditory processing disorder. And here you are working with him while he's happily throwing rocks in, but he's listening to frequencies. What is happening? Why is he wearing this headset? And what's really happening on the inside?
Right. I can explain a little bit of it. It's a little bit complicated, but let me start out by saying that when a baby is born, its vision is not the same as it's going to be by the age of 5. The vision is very much connected to the distance from the baby to the mother's face, and beyond that, it doesn't see very well. The same thing is true with the baby's auditory system, that it's not able to hear and process all of the different frequencies that it will be able to process as it gets older. And those frequencies open up between birth and 11. And so in an infant, they are primarily hearing lower sounds. And as they go through their early childhood, more and more higher frequencies keep kicking in. The frequencies that are mostly part of the English language are in the middle range frequencies. They're not the really low, they're not the really high. And those frequencies tend to open up when a child is between 18 months of age and about 3, 3.5, or 4. Suppose a child has ear infections, and a lot of ear infections during that time. Their ears are plugged up, and so though the brain and the ear were programmed to be able to learn to process the sounds of our language during that period of time, it's almost like the child is temporarily deaf and doesn't really learn well how to do that, because each time they have an ear infection, they go through a temporary loss of hearing. And so one of the things that we start to see is that children who are experiencing that, many of them have speech problems because their mouth is trying to create the sounds that their ear is not hearing properly. When you do auditory therapy, what you're doing is you're taking the child back to that window that was opened at one point and closed before the child learned what it needed to learn and before the brain learned to process sound correctly. And you essentially, through sound training, reopen that window and train the ear and the brain to do what they didn't learn to do when the child was between 2 and 4.
Wow, and so
does
I'm sure there
sense?
It does, and I'm sure there are also other reasons besides ear infections.
Yes.
As well, because yes. A family listening might think, well, my child, I don't think, had ear infections, so I don't think that they could have that. But I'm sure there's
it could
a
be,
multitude.
It could be birth trauma. It could be emotional trauma. It could be illness. I mean, there are a lot of different things that cause the brain to not do what it should be doing at a particular stage.
And so let's say a family was doing this at home. They have the headset. They're doing it at home. They're loving their children. What are some changes that you have seen with kids? Like, what are some things that you have seen? Maybe another, let's just make it back to the 10-year-old girl. If she did have an auditory processing, what would be some changes that you often see in children once they start therapy with you?
Well, one is the first thing that parents start reporting, because it's one of the things that's most difficult for them, is that they see the child not temper tantruming as much, because as the child is able to process what they're hearing, they're able to work things out rather than throw a fit. And so the first thing you see is the child's tantrum stop, which also reduces the anxiety of both the parent and the child, and the two actually can start enjoying time together. That's one of the first things we see. Another thing that parents start to report is that the child is more confident, that they're coming home from school and they are feeling like they understand what they're supposed to do, and they are more able to do homework on their own, and homework is less of a battle than it's been. You see children, their memory starts to improve, because when they're processing better and mom says, you know, put the dog out and bring in the groceries out of the car and put them in the refrigerator, the child is actually able to remember in sequence what they were asked to do. Many of these kids have really, really poor memories.
And so sometimes as a parent, that's when you get confused and think it's disobedience.
Right.
I gave him two simple things to do, put the dog out and then put the dog food away. And then they're just like, I did get the dog out. What was the other thing? And
right.
You can, I think I just feel so, so much compassion for children who are struggling, because they can so easily be labeled disobedient, oppositional defiant, you know, other words, when they're really doing the best that they can do.
Right.
with the capacity that they currently have. And so we, believe it or not, are just about out of time. I'm just so thrilled to have you on. I just encourage each one of you parents, if you have a child, if you are so happy and your child is so happy and they're just singing and whistling through school and having a great time and enjoying being at home, then wonderful. Share this information with your friends. But if you are a parent who at the end of the day sometimes goes, oh my gosh, this parenting is not what I thought it would be. My kids are disobedient. They don't listen, or they're throwing temper tantrums, or they just don't seem to get it. Or they're doing well at home, but I keep getting reports from school. If any of this kind of rings true, then I just want you to have help. And that's why Judith in the very beginning mentioned it's a ministry. It's really helping children be all that they can be. And it helps them be less frustrated, which means that happier parents and happier children. And then they're able to live out their destiny. And so I just am so excited, Judith, about getting to know you through this process. I'm excited about our Family Link children having access to this at-home therapy that can really, really help retrain the brain and help some parts heal that they've had challenges with.
Right.
And through visual, auditory, sensory challenges. And you can find out more at abbaschild.com. And just don't forget, I'd love to hear from you. We have a volunteer work weekend. Oh, for the next few weekends, I would imagine for the next couple of years. you're welcome to come and help us starting this Saturday at Legacy Ranch. It's less than an hour from Austin and San Antonio, about 2 hours from Houston. Come take a day trip. You could even spend the night if you want. And come and help us pour into a place that will truly be life-changing for many families and children. So God bless you. We're out of time. Judith, I love our time together, and I cannot wait to have you back on again.
Oh, good. I have enjoyed doing this, and I would love to help in the ranch that you're developing. I would love to see the kids get the help they need.
Yes, I can't wait to have you out there. We can inspire, train the families, love on the kids, and I really want to see you there too very soon. So thank you, listeners. We will be back with you tomorrow night.